This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future.
Today I have with me
Gloria Whitson.
And I am Alison Mulder. Gloria, I think perhaps to start with, if you could give us a little bit of a background on who you are, where you are from.
Yes, that's fine. I grew up in Palmerston North and went to school there and led probably an easy, sheltered life and just sailed along. Because I was very keen on sport, I concentrated a lot on that. And goodness me, there was a lot going on, really. I had twin sisters and a brother, so we did a lot of things together. And in those days, there weren't the houses and the streets and things. So we had these big areas. We called them deviations and things. And paddocks. We had a marvellous time with all the other kids in the street. We climbed trees and tormented old ladies.
So
I don't think my mother... All she knew was that I went off with the older children and they looked after me.
Yes.
And that, so I actually had a lot of freedom for a little girl.
And you were the youngest.
And I was the youngest.
So yes. Did you experience that sense of the older ones thought that you got away with everything and you felt perhaps something about them?
Yes, there was that. They mentioned it several times as I got older. You got away with everything. You were Dad's favourite. I don't think I was, but yes, the youngest does get away. The way has already been paved for you by the older siblings, so
yes.
I did things that they weren't allowed to.
Yes, so in a way we were similar, although I came from a farming background. It too was a very free childhood, but I guess my feeling was, yes, I didn't realise it at the time that I got away with things, but my mind would still say tick, 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 but because I believed in Father Christmas, my older siblings continued to get presents from Father Christmas for longer than I had got presents from Father Christmas, because as soon as I didn't believe it anymore, it stopped. But my sister, 4 years older, she got 4 Father Christmas presents that I didn't get.
The lucky girl. Yes, no, I think one of the, my sisters, I can't remember which one, she told me that Father Christmas didn't exist, and of course I went into complete denial, but finally realised that was the sad truth.
I suppose if we'd been really smart, we would have believed in Father Christmas forever.
Yes, exactly. I could see that.
So you went to primary school?
Primary school and intermediate. And that was a big shock to me because our primary school was quite a nice little one. And everyone knew everyone and all the families. And then for me to go to intermediate and meet different types of children from other backgrounds and things, I sometimes thought they were rough. I did. And then went on to high school. And again, I had a lot of training for sport and things there. I actually... a wonderful woman called Sylvia, I can't remember her surname, she ran for New Zealand, and she trained me, Sylvia Oxen.
Yes.
And she nearly won a gold medal at the Games, but she tripped and fell. But she was very kind to a little third former and tucked me under her wing.
So did you have any particular sport? Was it team sports or individual sports?
Oh, individual. I loved the high jump and running and anything like that. I was a bit sports mad.
Yes.
My brother was too.
Well, that's actually quite an interesting thing because, of course, we were both at the same school, but not friends then.
No.
But I knew who you were. You were a year ahead of me, but you knew the sporty kids,
yes.
And so you were somebody I probably looked up to.
Oh, really?
I was the complete opposite. I was not sporty at all.
Well, of course, if you were keen on sports, you could also see where the boys were. So that I very quickly worked that one out.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're one of those forward young
well,
women.
I sort of was, but wasn't compared to some of the other girls. But anyway,
well,
yes.
That's probably why people like me also admired you, because you'd see the sporty girls somehow getting along with the boys, where I was just terrified.
Yes. My brother and I got on very well, so he sort of opened the door for me. And my mother started inviting the friends of my siblings around for nice little sort of afternoons. I don't know what she was thinking. And I was allowed to sit and observe, and I thought, this is pretty good, all these older boys.
So she was actually...
Yeah, she wanted
sort of introducing.
Introducing, but it was all very formal and that.
Yes.
But I don't know why my mother did that.
Actually. Well, my mother did it
did
too.
She did it too.
And yes. Not often.
No, it wasn't often, but I thought, here's a treat.
It was, well, I just felt it was incredibly awkward.
It was.
And then, of course, when I got older and perhaps socially was mixing and mingling, not quite in the way my parents might have thought should have been the way I went, and I said, well, it's all your fault, because you didn't make the right introductions.
Oh, let's blame the mothers. Yes. Well, when I left school, I wanted to go down to Wellington because that's where my sisters were. And so my father couldn't understand why I wanted to go flatting, and leaving a nice home. That was his thought. But my mother encouraged me, so I went down there and I worked for an accountant. Down there. I loved it.
Had you planned any sort of career move? Or
no,
I knew
that I didn't, quite like working with figures and money and things like that. And I flattered with my sister and three other girls. We had a lot of fun.
Yes, that. I'm sure.
Yes.
How old were you?
Oh, I would have been 17 or, yes, I think. I didn't leave school and go directly down to Wellington. I think I worked for my father. He had quite a few shops and selling electrical goods and things, and he said to me that would give me an idea of what money was about and things like that. But I very quickly got bored with Palmerston by then.
Yes.
So
small town.
Small
yes.
town. Yes.
So what would your social life have been like in Wellington?
Oh, we went to dances and how did we meet? I think dances and things like that. I don't know. Can't remember now. But we always seemed to be going out. There was lots of laughter and we hosted parties and things. And we had a party and we invited a lot of people from the university and
yes.
things like that because we... We thought they might be intelligent and we would somehow be intelligent too.
It's interesting, isn't it, how now so many young people seem to stick at home. And, of course, it's always been talked about that it's because of financial reasons. But somehow I feel it's probably not all that. It's a lack of wanting to adventure.
Yes.
We had free childhoods of pushing further and further physical boundaries, and I think that perhaps that paved the way for us to move more broadly as young adults instead of sticking at home.
Yes. The thing was that you were meant to leave home.
Yes.
And get yes. away.
Yes. And my mother's expression was, you let your children go to keep them.
That's true.
Because if you try to cling, that's not a good basis for an adult life.
No.
And good relationships as adults. Yes. So how long were you in Wellington for?
I'm a bit vague about this. Maybe two years. And in meanwhile, I had met a young man from Palmerston. Well, he wasn't from Palmerston. He was a farmer from out of Dannyburg. But we were just friends. But we stayed friends while I was down in Wellington. And then we decided that I would move back to Palmerston. And I worked for a family accountant. And that was good. And the friendship continued. We were all quite young. He was 6 years older, so... but I was the young one. But we just kept seeing one another. And, of course, I loved going out to his family farm.
So is that Pongaroa?
No, it was on the road to Porongahau. But it was out of Dannyburg. And it was 23 miles out. Not kilometres, miles. It was a long way out. It was quite isolated, but it was all exciting and I loved it and enjoyed helping in the wool shed and doing all those things, and I thought, oh, I'm made for this.
And so you were quite young when got engaged and
married. 23, that's young. I realise that now. Yes, but we decided we would go to England and travel overseas and see. That was a good lure for me as well.
And how did you go by ship?
No, we flew. We flew and stayed in Bangkok because one of my sisters was there. Her husband was in the New Zealand Embassy. So we stayed with them and had servants running around after us. This for a little girl from a little town. And I thought this was all marvellous. I loved all this exciting travel and then getting to England and, I just thought, oh, wow. It was like the books that you read in the old days, the Enid Blyton and everything, and it was just like that when I got there. I did. It was like I felt like I'd gone home. That's what I felt like.
Well, of course, I can relate
you
to that.
You can relate
very,
to it.
Very
yes, you can.
Closely. Yes.
I loved it. All the old houses and the homes. And then, of course, we met other New Zealanders and that. So there was always things going on. And we had assortment of jobs. And these ex-farmer guys, they know what to do on fencing and things on farms and things. And we just moved all around.
And did awesome. You travel out of...
Yes,
Britain,
yes, we did.
England.
We met an Australian couple and went all around Europe with them.
By
we car. Well, he bought a new car, which I thought wasn't a good idea because I thought, I don't know if I want to drive in Europe. And yes, we took tents and things, did all the usual what Kiwis do when you're over there. And then of course I grew to love all that and thought, this is so exciting.
And then you came back to
New Zealand. Came back, but in hindsight, I think I should have stayed. Not been married and should have stayed over there. I probably would have stayed.
Yes. So you basically came back from the big wide world.
You did.
And you went to the farm.
No, we didn't.
You
no,
didn't.
No. We went up to Gisborne and... Robin, that was my husband, he did a whole lot of fencing way up in the hills with another chap that he had met in England, who was off a farm, and I worked again for an accountant in Gisborne, and I lived in a little cottage by the one of the beaches, and on my own.
And my husband would come
in at the weekends.
Yes.
And I would entertain the guys and feed them and things, and then they'd go back and work. And then I met some other people.
Yes.
You know, some girls that lived up the road, and they were from down the Wairarapa way. It was a great time.
Yes. And so it was married, but not kind of married.
Yes. And we bought a little sports car over in England, and we shipped that back and bought that. And I was allowed to drive it. Woohoo!
So it was all still.
It was still like being overseas, actually, because when we came back to New Zealand, even though I was looking forward to it, I couldn't settle. I found it really, really hard. I missed all that excitement of being overseas and, you know, the travel and things.
Yes.
But eventually, my father-in-law sold the farm to us. And we moved on to it. And I was really looking forward to that, but I didn't realise how isolating it was. We were a long way out of Dannebec.
Yes, so perhaps could you maybe describe a little bit of what that kind of life was like?
Yes, well, it was a sheep farm with some cattle, and, you know, it was on a dirt road in those days, and well, it was long hours of Robin being away on the farm and working and things, and I had to get used to my own company, and I'm quite an outgoing person, and I found that really quite difficult at first. Eventually you make friends, as you do, and people they had children and that, and there was a little local school down the road. And I even had it was an article in the paper the other day about Russian Jack, who used to walk all around the countryside out in Wairarapa, over in Hawke's Bay, down out of Palmerston.
Well, I think I perhaps could be corrected, but I believe, in my memory, Russian Jack came to our place.
He probably did.
Because I remember him sitting on the at the back porch in the sun on the by the steps. I don't know. He was there. I imagine my mother, perhaps she gave him a meal.
She would have given him some sandwiches or something. Or yes, a meal? Yes, she might have.
I don't know. Perhaps my father gave him some baccy, some tobacco or something. I just remember this man who, I was told, wandered country.
He did. He just walked up to the farmhouse. My husband wasn't around, but I didn't feel threatened or frightened by him. And I just knew I would make him some sandwiches and things and gave him drink and that, and he ate that and said thank you and went on his merry way.
So what year are we talking about? Let's put this in context. This would be
early 70s, I think.
Yes.
So
that's actually, you see, quite a contrast. And people in the country, anyway, knew Russian Jack.
And they knew he was to be trusted.
Yes.
So I went to Women's Institute over there, and then I found it wasn't for me. I was one of the women there. She said, I don't think this is your thing, is it? So, you know, I'd already baked a cake for a competition and it got failed.
So was it easy to feel part of the community, or?
Well, yes, it was, and I was keen to meet people, and I joined the Toastmistress over there. But my husband was a bit of a loner, and you know, he was quite content with his books and things in the evening, and yeah, he just was a totally different person to me in some aspects.
Yeah.
In that, but after about a year, I had a baby, and he was born in Dannebrog Hospital, and that was a whole new ball game for me.
Yes.
And
so, did that keep you tied? I mean, had you been helping on the farm at all?
Yes, I used to help, but again, my ex-husband, he liked to do things on his own, whereas I thought it would be, you know, me helping all the time and that, but no, it wasn't a lot of it. So the days could be quite long, but yes, I can remember having this baby, taking it out to the farm. I was quite scared of looking after a child all on my own that I didn't know anything about, and, you know, way out in the wop-wops.
Yes. Was there any support that you might have got?
Oh, neighbours, yes. I got to meet neighbours and things like that. And once I joined Toastmistress and started meeting all these really interesting women, that was great. That opened, you know, I got to know the vet's wife and all sorts of things. And, yes, it was the best thing I could have done.
Yes. So did you do things perhaps like get together for...
Yes, we did. Yes, and we had, I remember when we invited all the neighbours round for a meal, and we served wine, and they told everyone else in the district that we drank wine, so we were a bit different. People didn't drink wine in those days so much.
No.
In the country it was whiskey and gin and things like that, but not wine. But
no.
This was, of course, you know, when we were in England, we discovered all those things.
Esti spumenti.
No, we had moved on from that.
Oh, yes, those were the days.
They were indeed.
Yes. So your parents-in-law were still living even?
No, yes, but they had moved up to Auckland to be with one of their daughters. She'd had triplets, so they were helping. And then we quickly realised after about 2 or 3 years on the farm that maybe we would like to be closer to a bigger city. Actually, we thought the farm wasn't big enough, but the one we bought over near Palmerston wasn't much bigger, really. But we certainly got a much more interesting social life.
Yes. I was just thinking... that on the farm where you were, so you had how many children at that stage?
We had just the one child, a son, and then when we moved to Palmerston, I had Penelope.
Okay.
And that was a 3 year gap there, and then I had Genevieve. And there was a 2 year gap. So there's three children.
So none of the children went to the local school, country.
No.
But did the? I mean, from my experience, the district, you know, everybody, and if you are at a country school, your neighbours can be people who are many miles away.
Yes.
And the school becomes a kind of central
part
of the whole community.
Well, the area we were in was called Tiuri, and the school was, I can't remember how many kilometres, back towards town, but we had befriended the headmaster and his wife there, so they were wonderful to us. And they had three children. And that, so we did get to meet people in that, but... We just missed that more, the bigger city stuff.
Yes. So, to shop?
You went to Dannebrog to shop, or otherwise you go up to Hawke's Bay, because that's where your meat was killed as well, off the farm, and you'd go and pick up, they'd kill some meat for you to take back to put in your deep freeze.
So, that round trip... to do the shopping. Mm. Well, it was 23 miles each way, but on a not good road.
No, it wasn't.
How long would that round trip take?
Probably 3/4 of an hour.
One way?
23 miles, that's about 40, 50 k's. A bit vague.
Yeah.
Robin had a grandmother and great aunt living in town, and I used to go in there and visit them and take Nicholas, who was just a baby. And they were both little old frail ladies, and they would insist on holding them. I was terrified they'd drop them. They'd give me afternoon tea, make a big fuss, and then I'd drive back out to the farm again. They loved all that. Reminded them of their days on the farm, you see.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.